Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Twitch is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware with Ryan Schrapp, episode 53, live from CES 2010.
This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Make your next meeting a GoToMeeting instead. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/twit. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/twit. And remember to follow Audible on Twitter at Audible_com. And by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music and podcast search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRide.com.
It's time for Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware. We cover computer hardware with our great friend and expert, Mr. Ryan Schrapp of PC Perspective, PCPer.com. And we are live from the Consumer Electronics Show 2010, Las Vegas, Nevada. Great to see you, Ryan.
You too.
Are you already exhausted on day two?
I am. I know. I really am. Well, we got here on Tuesday.
Okay.
And because they had pre-show events on Tuesday and Wednesday and that kind of stuff. So, yeah. I think most of the guys are ready for this to be the last day.
Yeah.
How many people here?
Five.
Wow.
Five guys. We've got video crew, dedicated video crew. And
so it's, I think CES, I think consumer electronics, I don't think PC hardware, which is your beat,
but
I guess there is a lot to talk about.
There is. And what they do here is we kind of focus on new consumer devices just based on this interesting new hardware. But you're right. There are not a lot of usually specific product announcements.
Although Intel did use all the big players.
Yeah,
you know?
They're all here. I mean, Intel did use CES to launch and announce its Clarkdale and Arendelle processors.
Intel has a big booth.
Oh, they've got everything.
And they have people doing sit-ups.
Yeah, I saw them out on the street.
What's that all about?
I have no idea. They had yoga mats out, and they're doing stretching in the sidewalk. There was like 10 girls.
They say, they tell me. Well, first of all, it's girls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but that's part of the deal. Probably fairly attractive girls.
Very much so.
And I would guess that those girls had incredible cores, much like the Intel Core Duo processors.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sure, that's the tie-in, right?
I don't know what else to say. They they have blue shirts on that say Intel, and I was like, okay, well, it's obviously some kind of marketing.
That's pretty funny. It's all marketing.
Yeah.
The Intel booth, Intel always has a presence here, so that's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you think about it, as you said, they power a lot of consumer electronics. I mean, all the portable devices, I mean, even these TVs, many of them have Intel chips.
Right, they're making a big move in that direction because they don't power as many of those devices as they want to.
Right. They've saturated the desktop market. What's next?
ARM, SoC, those guys have traditionally been the consumer electronics, you know, what's in your TV and that kind of stuff, what's in your phones. And obviously Intel knows that those are the large growing markets. We'll talk about tablets and that kind of stuff and Intel, how they fit into that scheme. But they
AMD has a big win here, though, the Boxy Box. It's got a Tegra 2 in it.
Oh, if that's got a Tegra, that's NVIDIA.
I'm sorry. Did I say AMD? I'm so
AMD.
Confused. NVIDIA.
Yeah. No, and they had some really impressive stuff.
Yeah.
I've got one here.
What's that?
So what I have here is a new tablet device, and it actually uses.
There's a lot
the
of
new
tablets.
Tegra. Yeah, tablets seem to be the big thing.
And not only are there a lot of tablets, they think that Apple's going to call them a slate. So these are all called slates.
Right.
It's the funniest thing. All of a sudden, this is the slate category, thanks to a rumor.
Right. That guy should have copyrighted that,
No kidding. So what is this?
So here's it's a tablet device.
It looks like a big chumby.
Yeah. It has a lot of multimedia features. You know, Tegra likes, or NVIDIA likes to talk about Tegra in terms of multimedia and gaming. What's actually really impressive, you can get 16 hours of HD video playback on it. And actually, here, I'll let me start one of these videos.
It's already showing that it's raining in Moscow. So
yes.
I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's got 3G connectivity. It's got Wi-Fi. It's got Bluetooth. It's pretty much got everything you need.
Go ahead. You said you wanted to start a movie. Go ahead and start a movie.
Yeah, so that's actually one of the, obviously, Tegra supports H.264 video acceleration and decode. And you'll see that the 1080p video looks really, really good on it.
You could just leave it tight, Brent. That's for the rest of the show, this would be a good one for tight. Look at that. Wow. It's got a lot of fingerprints on it.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be one problem with a slate. Apple says they use a fingerprint-resistant coating. I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't understand that at all either.
Yeah. This is Transformers.
Yep. And G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, but I can't tell the difference.
Yeah,
well, is there a difference? I believe that's the same movie.
Close.
It's a little dark right now, so we can't really tell, but the motion is very good.
Yeah, I mean, you really holding it and watching it, it's a very, really, really high-quality video.
Yeah, and it's large enough. What is that, a 7, 8?
7.5, I think, yeah. It's right in between there. And this is actually based off Windows CE.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not Linux.
You wouldn't tell.
A lot of these guys are doing Linux.
Right.
So it's kind of surprising.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So you can do photo browsing. Actually, one of the things they showed at their press conference yesterday was a full version of the Unreal Engine. So what, a lot of these games are based on running on Tegra devices.
Wow.
So what is exciting about that is developers would be able to make one game run on the Xbox, the PlayStation, the PC, and now even a tablet.
Doesn't that video look great? I mean, that's actually quite spectacular.
It is.
So this is a concept, really. I mean, unless they find a manufacturer for it.
Right. Probably what's happening now is Foxconn is shopping this unit around to a bunch of other OEMs and retailers trying to get them to buy it to sell.
Now, you saw the Lenovo U1, and I thought that was a really nice take on this, which is it's a laptop with a detachable tablet as its screen.
Yes. The only thing, obviously, you worry about that is wear and tear on those connectors and how often you're going to do it. But the idea is great to be able to just take the monitor off.
Right.
You basically have a semi-detachable keyboard with
it.
You know,
right.
Which is great. So it's got all kinds of great features on it. And they've been really touting Tegra for that use. So I have been asked about 3 times if that was the Apple tablet while I was standing out here waiting.
You have the Apple tablet?
Yeah.
Look. All right, let's try it. Let's just see. I just want to see if this works. Look, everybody, I've got the Apple tablet. Oh my God, they're going to rush us. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's great.
They don't. There's no price, I would guess. Did they say how much they think they could sell it for?
They're pretty coy about it. Because
it's not the Apple tablet. Go away. Go away.
What,
oh my God.
What NVIDIA says is, look, we control one component.
Right.
Of what's in there. And so this is actually the new Tegra that they just announced yesterday. So
Tegra,
it's faster, dual core.
Is that Tegra 2?
They just call it
Tegra
the new Tegra.
Tegra new.
The new.
That's
the
what I call it.
Next generation Tegra.
Next gen Tegra.
Dual core. You know, it'll 16 hours of video. 16 hours of HD video on a single charge.
You know, I've just been informed that there's a new Supreme Court decision. Used to be you couldn't shout fire in a crowded theater. Now they say you can't shout isolate in a crowded conference. Who knew? Okay, I'm sorry, Supreme Court.
Yeah,
what else
thanks.
You got here?
So this is actually really cool. I just saw this like 30 minutes before we came out here.
This is a computer.
And no, it's not a computer. It looks like that. What it is an external graphics solution for laptops.
Finally, a video card you can put in your pocket?
You plug this into the laptop, right?
Does the laptop have a special connector?
Yes. That's it's a PCI Express by 8 Gen 2, so it's almost full bandwidth.
Okay.
That you would get on a desktop card. It's great.
But there's no current computer that has this.
There's one available now.
Could I buy a PC card that goes into my?
That's the next step.
My slot, and then the card bus slot, and this goes into that, or something like that.
Apparently, they have to be very particular about how much bandwidth those PC card slots are actually going to have.
Yeah, because not all of them are.
Because it's a lot of bandwidth. Because what you do is this
has
you can see the
SATA port too on it.
It's got USB. It's got DisplayPort. This supports iFinity. So you can hook this up to your gaming laptop.
Oh, you're kidding!
And have 3 monitors and do.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh my goodness! So it's essentially an iFinity card.
Yeah. So
is it from ATI?
It is. It's yes. It's an AMD Mobility 5870. So it's their new super high-end mobile graphics part. And even more interesting, I thought, is this is actually both directions. So if you just want to game on your laptop screen, say you've got one of those new 17 or 18-inch screens, this will improve. So it'll send the graphics horsepower essentially inside the machine. So you can upgrade your graphics on your laptop with a device like this.
All you need
and
is
you don't
a,
have to use external
is this port.
Yes.
Wow, that's hysterical.
And they're hoping, of course, that it will become
everybody
standard.
Will do it and blah blah
everybody
blah.
Everybody will
blah.
Do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
We've
yeah.
seen things like this before, but obviously not the iFinity support. That's kind of cool.
So apparently, Web 1235 just tuned in. That is a See, we have personalized service here.
Yes,
that
yes.
is a video card add-on from ATI for a laptop. It uses a special PC card connector and would give you Eyefinity. Would give you a very like a 5800 level performance.
Right, so the benefit there is laptops are the big thing. Everybody, we're moving from desktops to laptops. People still want to be able to
game
on it.
Game.
So this will allow you to, you can hook up your three monitors, have your keyboard and mouse hooked up to the USB ports on it even, right?
Right.
And then when you got to go, you just unplug this PCI Express card from your system, take the laptop and go.
That's brilliant.
And you can have a smallish, thin and light machine, but still have gaming power.
Brilliant.
When you want it.
They're brilliant.
If you want to cart three monitors around, you can do that too.
We're talking with Ryan Shrout about the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, and the hardware that's to be seen. Is Asus here this week?
They are here.
I'm going to ask you about them in a moment.
They are upstairs.
But first, my friends, I want to talk a little bit about GoToMeeting. Our sponsors, Citrix, brought us here, so they ought to get a little plug for this great product that would keep me at home if I'd only thought of using it ahead of time. See, you have your meetings without traveling. You'll do more. You'll travel less with GoToMeeting. It's simple, too. Once you've got GoToMeeting installed, in fact, you could do it while I'm talking. Go to GoToMeeting.com/twit. You'll have it installed in your system. It takes just a minute. And, by the way, no configuring of the router or the firewall. It uses NAT traversal to get right around them securely with 128-bit encryption. But it also is so easy to install that you don't even know it's there. It's just kind of running. But the next time you're on the phone and you're having a conference call, you say, gosh, I wish you could see these PowerPoint slides. I wish I could show you the spreadsheet. And you go, oh, I forgot. I got GoToMeeting installed. You start a meeting with a click of the mouse. You tell your conferees on the phone, hey, go to GoToMeeting.com. Press the Join a Meeting button. Here's the meeting ID. Now they're seeing your computer screen. They're seeing the PowerPoint. They're seeing the spreadsheets, the drawings, whatever it is you're talking about. You can use it not only for selling, but you can use it for collaboration. You can even give them control of a document. You can use it for training. Even if they don't have a copy of the program that you're training them on, and you do, they can use it from their computer by using GoToMeeting. It's just an amazing technology. $49 a month for unlimited meetings, as long as you want, as often as you want. And by the way, you get VoIP with that and free teleconferencing. Try it right now, free for 30 days. GoToMeeting.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support of Twit Live at CES 2010. So
you're a 2010, not a 2010.
I am a 20. Okay. Oh, are you? Didn't we have this conversation? I hope you're not a 2010er.
No. That's too many syllables.
Too many syllables. That's right. My contention exactly. Ryan Shrout is the host of This Week in Computer Hardware and PC Perspective. You've got two podcasts. Twitch is on the Twit Network. You go to twit.tv/twitch, TWICH, and you could download that podcast. I say
it's
that
been
because.
Doing very well.
It has been. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. I say that because normally, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, you know how to get it. But this is also on our CES feed. So we have
a
special CES feed because we're at CES right now. Okay. What else do we have here at the beautiful Consumer Electronics
Show? Those are all the prompts I was able to get.
Asus.
You wanted to ask about Asus.
Is it Asus?
It's Asus.
Somebody said it comes from Pegasus. So then it would be Asus.
I was told that to say it as it rhymes with Dr. Seuss.
Asus. That's what we're going to say from now on.
Yeah.
Are the Asusers here?
They are at CES.
Because last year, Asus was huge. They had the 800 concept things.
Right.
This year, everybody's got a netbook, and Asus is not around.
Yeah, you're right. They showed some new laptops. They did have a new netbook. It was a designer netbook. No different in terms of hardware, no different in terms of performance.
Kind of like a seashell thing?
Yeah, but they're trying to make it more of a... They were trying to make it a piece of jewelry that people would want to own. And it's like, you know, especially for me, I don't need a pink netbook with jewels in it, so...
Oh, it had jewels?
Yeah.
Fake jewels.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
I hope so,
on a $300 netbook.
Yeah,
there's
not
going to
be
so.
Real jewels. Yeah,
But they also had this enormous... I was trying to get it here to show you. It was an 18.4-inch notebook that had...
I've never... Well, wait a minute. HP did the one that was like 20 inches, right? But that's pretty big, 18.4.
And,
wow.
And it's the key selling point was it had a Bang & Olufsen audio system on it.
Wow.
And instead of having speakers like on most notebooks, whether they're here or they're underneath the bottom of the laptop, these were... They look like... side stereo speakers you put next to your TV, right? It looked like an LCD you would mount on your wall, where the speakers are next to the LCD. right? So you don't have, you actually get a much, much better audio.
I'm trying to visualize this.
Yeah.
How would I carry it around?
Not very comfortably.
Yeah.
It's not portable.
It's
about 12 pounds. It's a big machine. It's got a Core i7. It's got all the latest and best hardware in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was designed by Bang & Olufsen. It was one of their big collaborations with them. The audio system is great. What they're kind of billing it as is doing, have something you have around your house that looks nice. It was like a, not a piano finish. It was this polished aluminum type finish.
Nice. This thing is going to be heavy.
It was heavy. It was also very smudgy, just like the tablets and that kind of stuff would be. So, but no pricing or anything on it yet, but it was that was pretty good. They also had a laptop made out of bamboo. They were trying to be recyclable, you know, trying to be eco-friendly. And
I wouldn't mind a bamboo laptop. That's all right.
They did this years ago with a bamboo, but the problem was production. They couldn't make enough of them because they were making them by hand. Right? You had to actually carve out the
handmade
back,
laptop.
The anything that was bamboo, you had to be carved. So they basically tried to find a new process they could do that with.
That's
and
funny.
It involved, it's like injection molding with bamboo now. It's pretty crazy stuff.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Did they call it the bamboozled?
No, unfortunately.
Alex
unfortunately
C.,
not.
Thank you for that joke. I appreciate it in our chat room.
Yeah, it's a U something.
U.
It's U-boo. A U series of something.
U-boo.
Yeah.
So what other manufacturers come to town? Now, Samsung, I know, I think made some SSD announcements, didn't they? We'll have to ask Alan Malvin.
Yeah, we'll bring up, I see him over there. We'll bring him up here and talk about some SSD stuff.
Yeah, because there's that's got to be a big story in the PC world anyway.
Yeah, so not a lot of the guys that we work with are actually in the show floor and the exhibiting areas and that kind of stuff.
Really?
Asus is. Because they are...
They're almost a CE group.
Right. That's what they want to be. That's why they're spinning off their manufacturing arm, Pegatron. They're trying to separate these two so the brand Asus can compete with HPs and those guys.
Because HP uses, other companies use Pegatron to manufacture.
Right.
So they don't want Asus to be confused with Pegatron, even though it's the same company.
I imagine there are quite a few customers of Asus's that weren't happy to see them enter Best Buy and start to become a name brand that people recognize and that kind of stuff. But that's their goal.
Eco-friendly gadgets, quite a few I saw TV-wise. Are people paying attention to that, too, now that we're all so green? Not so much.
Surprisingly, I mean, in the computer world,
they don't, computers don't use that much power.
Not as much. I mean,
you get
machines like this. I mean, the Tegra chip that powers almost the entirety of that uses like 500 milliwatts.
Right.
Obviously, you got to have the display and the network connectivity, and that's all different.
Mm-hmm.
But 500 milliwatts, that's about as low as you're going to get
for
as much performance as what that gets.
Right.
I guess we can, if you want to, we'll suit up Alan to get a mic on here, because I do want to talk about some SSD stuff.
All right. Hey, Alan, come on up. Get Alan Malventano up here. He is he writes for PC Perspective. You can use that mic over there, Alan, why don't you? Yeah. He works for PC Perspective, of course, and is your hard drive guy. You're going to have to scooch in a little bit next to Ryan because, scooch over, Ryan.
We'll get
Alan in here, too. Alan is, are you on leave from the Navy? How do you get to go to this? I guess you get vacations like any normal human.
Yeah, I had to take some vacation days to come out here.
All right, that's great.
Check out all the cool stuff.
Have you been to CES before?
No, this is the furthest west I've been, like, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you normally?
East Coast.
Wow.
All the time.
So is this, are you having culture shock?
It's not that bad. Well, it's all, you know, it's all a bunch of geeks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Feels at home.
Feels right at home.
Yeah.
And we're going to slide that. You can slide that one over a little bit, Colleen. You're not going to be able to get four moved because four. Yeah, you can slide that one over a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to have Colleen move. Yeah, there you go. There's the two shot. There's the good looking Alan Malventano. Yes, sir. So I saw somebody, was it Samsung, had some announcements on SSDs?
Samsung?
Somebody did. Somebody announced a whole range of SSDs here.
OCC is the big one.
OCC.
They have like a whole huge range. Yeah. Ryan, did you get to talk about any of those?
No, we haven't talked. We haven't talked about it. That's why I brought you up.
That's why you're here.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Unfortunately, we don't have any good props.
Yeah.
You know what? They all look the same. They're a box.
No, there's some different ones.
Really?
There's actually a what's called a P88. It's a PCI Express solid-state drive that they're making.
So you pop it into the computer itself, so it's internal?
Right, it's like a video card, basically.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
But a real beefy monster of a card with it has RAID on board, and it's basically like 8 individual solid-state drives all RAIDed together.
This is a business. This is an enterprise product, isn't
it? I don't know. It might trickle down into power users
really?
Still eventually. Yeah. It all depends on how cheap it gets, and that's actually part of what's good about that board is they made it modular. So you don't have to buy it with all the bells and whistles all on there.
Drives.
You can actually add it or upgrade it on the fly. Yeah. They made the flash memory comes in the SODIMM form factor.
Yeah. So you just change the SODIMM?
Yeah, so you can actually it's not like you can plug this into a laptop and it would fry something if you plug this into a normal SODIMM
slot. Right.
But the fact that they're using a standard kind of connector
makes
and
it
something
easy.
They could just, okay, well now we're making the larger modules and then you could just buy those and swap them out. So that was pretty cool.
Is PCI Express faster than SATA 3?
Way faster.
So that would be the bus to use if you had the
They have benchmark numbers on that? They did. I'm trying to remember what it was.
They did. It was pushing like 800, 900 megabytes per second.
Yeah.
So you're talking,
impressive.
That's more than, or it's, well, you could, in
SATA
theory.
SATA 6 is 600 megabytes per second.
Right.
In theory. And this is what they're actually getting with their first firmware and their first iteration of the device and all that kind of stuff, too. So I think that will be pretty impressive.
This is the kind of stuff we've talked about in the past, which is that these SSDs are so fast now that really they're outpacing the capability of the computer to use all that power.
Right. That happened very quickly. When, serial ATA 2 or 3 gigabit per second serial ATA was out around the time SSDs really started catching on. And they very rapidly, within the first couple of generations, ended up hitting the maximum bandwidth that you had. So second generation is already pegging the thing.
Wow.
You're already limited. And now the new serial ATA is out, and now we're starting to see new serial ATA or new generation serial ATA solid state drives come out that are going to be pushing it even further. So that's good stuff. There was another thing we saw actually from OCZ that they finally have a controller that's looks. We haven't benchmarked one yet and compared it like head to head on our side. Anand from Anantech took a look at one of them recently, but we finally got one here. We're going to review it as soon as we get back.
Oh, cool.
And it looks like it might actually be on par performance wise with Intel. So how we're always talking Intel.
Intel's the lead dog in this pack.
Right. And we've been saying that and riding that train for a long time now. And finally, it's looking like something might be, be in good competition for them.
Right.
Which is what we want, because if something like that happens, then the prices are going to start dropping. And then we're going to start seeing more people, be able to afford these things, that's what we want.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking with Alan Malventano and Ryan Shroud. It's This Week in Computer Hardware, our special CES edition. First time Alan's been west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, that was pretty surprising.
And he's loving it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought you joined the Navy to see the world.
I did, and that's what's funny. I spent a whole first half of my career on submarines, but I was
you
on
the... So you traveled, but you just didn't see anything.
Yeah. Traveled all over the place, but we could never pull in anywhere. Yeah, so, we were the super secret, silent service submarine.
Oh, that's
so
cool. That's really cool. Someday I'll have to get you drunk and find out more about that one. That sounds very interesting. That's the old Fred Astaire song. We joined the Navy to see the world, but what did we see? We saw the sea.
Yeah.
We saw the Atlantic and the Pacific wasn't terrific, and the Atlantic wasn't all as cracked up to be. Hey, before we go any further, let me mention our friends at Ford and the Ford Sync. It's in our Lincoln MKT that we drove down here. Man, that thing is sweet. That is so cool. Burke drove that down with all the gear in it. It's in my Ford Mustang. In fact, if you've got a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury vehicle, or you're about to buy one, make sure you get the Ford Sync in it. And, you can even rent cars now with Ford Sync in it. But you got to get a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury. You can't, no aftermarket for Ford Sync. And let me tell you what's going to happen in 2011, 2012, and going forward. Ford has announced here at the show today that this is the future. They're gonna start putting all sorts of capabilities, an application store, the ability to tweet, listen to Pandora for your music, listen to Stitcher for your news and music, put together, if I were a radio station, I'd start to worry. These cars are getting smarter and smarter, and with internet radio and so forth built in, you've got everything you could possibly want. Check out Ford Sync. It's for safety, for convenience with your cell phones, and of course for entertainment too. It's the best way. You never take your hands off the wheel, your eyes off the road. You tell the computer what you want it to do, play a song, play a podcast, tell you the weather, road conditions, and so forth. It's just amazing. SyncMyRide.com. You can find out more about it. SyncMyRide.com. Or just go to your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer and say, I want to test the Ford Sync. And we thank Ford and the Sync folks for making it possible to do this show here at CES this week. So, Alan Malvitano, Ryan Shrout. Did we run through everything you have to talk about? Because if that's the case, then this show was a waste of money for you. For crying out loud.
No.
There's got to be more going on
here. There's
plenty
more. We still have a lot of meetings left.
Yeah. Right? So, who are you meeting with? Just out of curiosity. Who's here? Is Sony one of the people you meet with?
No, not usually.
Yeah.
We've got Intel left. We are going to go by the Asus and the NVIDIA booth and see what they're doing. Oh, that's something we can mention. NVIDIA.
What are they up to?
So, Eyefinity. We talked about Eyefinity. It's ATI technology. 3-6 displays. NVIDIA is now going to be introducing the same feature on their next generation architecture as well. And what they're doing is they're even going, I think, a step above by also 3D vision on three different monitors. So you'll have three by three. So you'll have three displays all doing 3D vision.
All right. Colleen's loving this.
Yeah,
she's giving the little hook and horn sign. Yeah. So you like 3D gaming, don't you?
I do. I think it has its applications. And
we've been talking about 3D a lot because obviously that was one of the big stories of this CES this year is 3D.
Yep.
And I'm a little skeptical on movies, but I'm won over on games.
Yep.
And I'm starting to be won over on sports, on live sports events.
I haven't seen any of the sports
yet. I'm starting to think that might be the killer app for this.
The problem I have with 3D gaming on the PC now is that the monitors are still small.
Right.
I think the largest you can get is a 1080p 22-inch display, which is better now. Those are just coming out.
Right.
Because you have to have a special 120 hertz display for it to really work.
Because you need 60 per eye.
60 hertz per eye.
Right.
Otherwise,
that's not a big deal for a TV to do, but it's a much bigger deal for a monitor to do. These monitors, these LCDs, are all 60 hertz.
You know, because if you have a 24 or 27-inch monitor, if you want to do 3D gaming, you have to basically
do you have to render it twice, double the rendering?
Well, yeah, it does. It requires
twice
as much
horsepower. So you need a lot of power, too.
That's why NVIDIA and ATI love it.
Yeah.
It's because
it drives card sales.
Yeah, so now if you think about 3D vision on NVIDIA Surround is what they're calling their version of it.
Right.
So you have six times as many pixels to render because you've got three displays and you have to do 120 hertz on each display.
Right.
So that's pretty impressive. And what I think is actually really nice is NVIDIA is going to retroactively bring that technology to current cards. So anybody who has a GT 200-based graphics card will be able to use that, will be able to have NVIDIA Surround when it's actually launched.
I think when we're talking 3D, one of the negatives for somebody watching a TV is the glasses.
Yeah.
But for a computer gamer, It's a peripheral. It's like a joystick. You got to have. We're used to peripherals. We're used to having extra stuff. Putting on glasses is not as big a deal as it might be for somebody sitting in their living room on a couch.
Right. You have to worry about the kids and did you lose the glasses and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you got a gaming computer, you leave them on the desk and you're good to go.
It's part of your thing. Yeah.
Still a little expensive. You know, you're talking $200 for the glasses and that kind of stuff. But
let me ask you, but for Eyefinity and for gaming, are games now starting to develop to make sure that they have three monitor capability and that they have the 3D capability?
Yes.
That's kind of the standard now.
It's not standard now, but in 2010, what happens is these hardware vendors create this technology, and then they have to go to the software vendors and say, we have this technology. We need you to make sure your game works well with it.
Right.
And that's one of the complaints that some people have with Eyefinity is on the side monitors, 1 and 3, a lot of times what you'll have is stretching, fisheye effects.
Right.
Because the game
is not designed for that, right? It's just too wide.
ATI and now NVIDIA, I'm sure, are actively going out to these developers and telling them, "Look, this is what we want to do."
When I saw AMD, I said, "Hey, there's some good games, but I've seen games break." Ryan showed me a video, and they said, "Oh no, all the games now are working. It's just a driver issue."
It is all software.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be fixed eventually.
Yeah.
But
does it have to be fixed game by game?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like so, certain games can be fixed by ATI or NVIDIA in the driver.
Right.
Certain games will require a patch from the game developer themselves. And actually, I had a conversation with him today about that. And what the feedback they're getting from some game developers is that they will probably enable it in single player, but they don't want to enable it in multiplayer. Because with multiplayer, if you have an Eyefinity display, essentially you are seeing three times as much real estate than somebody who's gaming on a single monitor.
Right.
And so that's probably considered an unfair advantage when we're doing online multi-gaming, right? So
that's a good point.
Right.
I didn't even think of that.
This, the same thing happened but when widescreen gaming started.
Yeah, if you're playing big screen, that's, you know, you paid the money.
You used to have to choose your server that you would play games
online.
Only for Infinity
if they
players. Would let widescreen gaming on.
That's so funny.
So, you know, now we'll have all of that.
And along the lines of those 3D displays, if the other variant of those start to catch on, the ones that have the polarized display where it's polarized one way and polarized the other way, there was a few of them at that Pepcom event, actually, on the floor, the digital experience event. And there was already it's already to the point where there's vendors starting to make, like, high-end glasses. Like
designer
glasses with, you know, polarized one way and the other.
The only problem with that is there's three different ways to do it in the movie theater, so they can't make one. They said they're working on one pair of glasses that might have some filters or something that.
Right.
That they said maybe the transitions people, you know, those are the guys who do the automatic sunglasses. They're trying to figure out a way to do it, so you go into one theater and it transitions to one. But for gaming, that's not going to be such a big deal. You have one style that will work with the monitor, right?
Right. And Active is a better.
Active
solution.
Is the way to go.
I mean,
it's cheaper. It works on more stuff.
No, Active would be more expensive.
Oh yeah, because you got to put shutters in.
Right.
Not cheaper. More,
more expensive for the glasses.
Right.
But cheaper for the display.
True.
Easier for the display to do.
It just needs to do 120 hertz.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Alienware is here. Have you been over to see Alienware?
No, not yet. That's also.
Yeah, everybody wants to know about the
M11X.
Yeah, or 17X. Yeah.
I know John, who's our new mobile editor. He's not here. But he has been following CES quite fervently, and he wrote a news post about that and kind of posted some pictures and analyzed kind of what they're doing there. We're going to go over there.
Can you give us a sketch? Because I don't know anything about it.
I haven't seen it either.
Go to PCPer.com.
The other thing that Intel did was they launched Clarkdale Arendale. I don't think we've talked about
that. No, let's talk about that. These are new chips from Intel. Let's do that in just a second.
Okay.
Before we do, I do want to get one more commercial in here before we end the show, and that is from the folks at audible.com. Do you guys ever listen to audiobooks?
I do.
Oh yeah,
I know you do. That's right, we've talked about that before.
Yeah,
and you do too.
Oh yeah,
you know, I imagine under the sea on a sub having an audiobook would be just a lifesaver.
What's funny is I got out of that community before they really started catching on.
Yeah,
so it would have been a big time saver.
Oh, I bet.
Time, you know,
Submariners would really love those.
Yeah.
Or is it Submariners?
Submariners.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Submariners.
It's a little sore spot.
No, that's why I'm asking.
No,
that's exactly why I'm asking. I tell you, you know, I sometimes when I feel like I'm on the treadmill or I'm driving a lot, I feel like I'm a submariner. I'm stuck in a metal box and I can't get out, and I'm just so glad that Audible's there. Since 2001, I've been listening to audiobooks from Audible. They've got the best selection, 65,000 titles and growing all the time in every category. I know submariners love sci-fi. Audible Frontiers is recording classic sci-fi that's never been put in audio before. So I just finished listening to two Jerry Pournelle novels for the first time in audio, and it's just wonderful to hear. They say, come alive! You know, people love sci-fi movies and television, but my contention is there's nothing more vivid than your imagination. It's not just 3D, baby. It's 8D. And when you're listening to a book, it comes alive in your mind. You're seeing it as if you're there. And I just love audiobooks from Audible. I listen to them going to bed even. I close my eyes and listen, and you are in that, transported into that novel. I want you to try it right now. Go to audible.com/twit. You can get your first book free. You'll sign up for the gold account. That's one book a month. Not going to be enough in the long run, but it's a good way to start. You know, we like to ease you into this. And your first book is absolutely free. And, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, I'll understand. You can cancel it any time, but that book's yours to keep forever. Audible.com/twit. They play on Zune, iPods, iPhones, Sansas, iRivers, almost not every device. So you should check the device center, make sure it'll work on your device, but almost every device on the market today. Audible.com/twit. We thank them so much for their support of our trip here to CES. We are live at CES on the show floor. CES 2010, the big consumer electronics show. Ryan Shrout and Alan Malventano are here from PC Perspective. In fact, if you're wondering, yes, this is the PC Perspective podcast you're listening to. Actually, the Twitch podcast.
There you go.
Will you do PC Perspective here from the show floor, too?
We're trying to work it out. We need to record one this week, whether or not we'll be able to do it like live or in
you
our
You probably
in the
don't
room
cover and home automation at all, do you?
No.
Because
no.
I think this is a good show for home automation.
It is.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Especially this level of the show, this floor here.
Yeah, we're in the home automation center, kind of. Yeah. some really cool stuff going on with that. Who else? I'm trying to think of who else you would be covering.
Well, did you want to talk about the Arendelle-Clarkdale?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Intel.
So that those.
So what are these are new chipsets.
These are new processors.
Processors, okay.
That they launched. They launched this week at the show officially on January 7th.
Oh, listen to that. They just. I don't know if you can hear at home because it's probably rolling off everything under 100 hertz. But there is quite a bit of a subwoofer going on back behind.
This would be the car audio section as well, apparently.
It's that earthquake. There's an earthquake right behind us.
Actually, I'm watching the roof of that car shake
boom.
As the thing's going. Yeah.
You can always tell when they turn it up. It's so funny. I don't know if they. I think we don't. Probably people don't hear it at home, but because you know it's such a low frequency. But we feel it. You know, we really feel it
immediately.
Yeah.
So Clarkdale and Arendelle are Intel's new processor, mid-range, low-end. Inexpensive CPUs. But the interesting thing here is it's the first time that they're integrating graphics on the processor.
This is what they've been trying to do all along.
Right.
Trying to compete with AMD ATI, right?
Right. But unfortunately, AMD ATI have not come out with...
They haven't done anything.
They've been delayed.
That was the fear when AMD acquired ATI that was going to be easy to beat.
Yep. So Intel's integrated it in. It's, you know, the Intel integrated graphics, they basically upgraded a little bit from the chipset, put it in a different on a different die on the CPU package. You're not going to see a dramatic improvement in 3D performance, gaming performance, or anything like that. It's still not, in my opinion, a gaming platform.
Is that because they can't get enough transistors on there? Is that the problem? It's just real estate?
I don't know. No, that's not it, because NVIDIA uses the same... NVIDIA and ATI and their desktop integrated chipsets are much, much better performing in the same die space, essentially.
Right.
Same area, same thermal envelopes, and that kind
that's
of stuff. But Intel, that's never been their strength.
Right.
It's still not. But
you think it's designers? They just don't have the right guys?
I guess that's the only thing I can come up with, or they have internally decided that that's just not their focus.
Right.
Still. Right, but what the new Intel, they call it Intel HD graphics, and what it does is it does do video decoding, Blu-ray decoding, offloading, all that kind of stuff. So thin and light notebooks that don't have discrete GPU will still be able to watch all the video you
need. That's where
stuff.
You do it. Exactly. That's what you really want. You know, it's not going to be for gaming.
Now, these are also dual-core hyper-threaded instead of quad-core.
And they're low power.
Lower power, much lower power.
Intel has that ULC line, right?
Yeah.
The ultra-low consumption, I guess.
CULV.
CULV.
Yeah, ultra-low voltage.
Are these like ULV chips, or
they will make versions of those?
Okay.
Of this architecture in that same like thermal mindset,
right?
So they basically take their architecture and tweak it for a desktop, tweak it for a notebook, tweak it for the ultra low voltage type of stuff. But it, you know, and we did review on it. The performance was not as good as what we saw in Linfield because you're two cores short. They basically took two cores out of the processor and replaced it with Intel integrated graphics.
Right.
Right. It's incredibly low cost, incredibly low power. I mean, you can get a processor for $140 and a motherboard for $60.
Yeah.
And all you need is a hard drive and memory at that point because you've got your graphics.
Aren't they undercutting Atom when they start doing stuff like that? Maybe that's the plan.
Atom is still...
They hate Atom, don't they?
They still do.
They'd love Atom to go away.
They still do.
Because they don't make as much money on it.
No, right, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, they can't because then you wouldn't have $299 netbooks and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they.
So are they looking at chips like Clarkdale and Arendelle to try to get the price down so that they can?
Right. This brings the Nehalem architecture into the dual core world for the first time.
Right.
So Core 2 Duo processors have continued, you know, I mean, they've had a long
life. They're dominant. So these are Nehalems.
Yes. Yeah. So these are the first. We're finally going to get rid of Core 2.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. I didn't understand that.
So
fully.
We'll see new notebooks. Okay. And what I think it's much more compelling argument from a notebook standpoint than it is a desktop standpoint.
Now tell me, because I didn't realize Nehalem was that different in terms of architecture from Core 2.
Yeah.
What is the difference?
Nehalem has an on-die memory controller.
Right.
It has the returns of hyper-threading. It has a much improved just processing architecture in general.
More pipelines, different branch prediction, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
So it's going down at that low level. Is the microcode better? I mean, is the instruction set's the same? It's all x86
it
still.
It has SSE 4.2 and some of that kind of stuff. The Clarkdale and Arendelle do add AES encryption acceleration, both encode and encrypt and decrypt.
Oh, that's excellent.
So if you the idea would be eventually, once that's kind of mainstream and everything, full hard drive encryption would be accelerated that
at
way.
High speed.
At high speeds.
Yeah.
So it's it's interesting on the mobile standpoint because you're basically going from a dual core to a dual core hyper-threaded, same power envelopes, same battery life. So you do get performance improvements.
Huge performance improvement at no cost.
Yep.
At least no thermal cost or battery life cost.
And it should be cheaper to make, which hopefully will translate into cheaper prices.
Do you cover book readers? Because, boy, there are a lot of book readers in
this
show.
We have not. We saw
it's
a lot of
crazy.
Them at the Pepcom and those other
pre-shows. Nuts? Like, what are these guys thinking? Is this going to be a big category? Or, I mean, how's it going to open up? Amazon owns it right now. How's it going to open up?
That's the question, is content.
Yeah.
Everybody can make an ebook reader,
right.
But if you don't have the power of an Amazon,
right.
or maybe in a Barnes & Noble, that kind of stuff behind it too. I mean, Sony's really the only one who has a pretty successful product in that in that market. It doesn't they never made books. They never sold books, you know.
I'll tell you what, if I were E-Ink, I'd be happy about it though.
Oh yeah.
Cuz they all use the same screen from the same company.
I don't know if you saw the one I can't remember. I feel bad. I can't remember the name of it. The one that had it was an e-book reader on one side. And
yeah, it looked
an
like
LCD
the Courier. I didn't see it, but I thought, wow, you know, Microsoft didn't make this. This everybody saw this video that purported to be the next Microsoft reader, and it was exactly that. It was an e-ink screen on one side and a PC kind of screen on the other side, and you could cut and paste and move them back and forth. Somebody made it, not Microsoft.
Right. Yeah. You could annotate in the lines. We talked about. I know you've talked about textbooks and whether or not you would use that with
right.
a Kindle and that kind of stuff. And now
and
you
you've
can
got
write
full
notes
color.
And stuff.
Yeah.
You click a link and it opens it up on the other window where the LCD display is. And I thought it was pretty compelling. I just, again, my question was, well, where are you going to get all these books from?
Right.
What standards are you going to adopt? So.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's great to see you guys.
You too.
I'm really really glad we came down to Las Vegas because it's been a kind of a better show than I anticipated. I thought CES was going away because last year was a bad year, but there's no question this is not only a vital show, but there's a lot of stuff happening. It's very exciting.
I think there are less people, but I think those people that are here are more excited about what they're seeing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really
so
true.
Maybe we lost the fluff.
We were going to lose those guys anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
They peeled
exactly.
off.
They were only here for the money.
I hope you've been enjoying This Week in Computer Hardware, our CES edition. Of course, we do This Week in Computer Hardware on Twit Live every week. We do it Wednesday at 3 p.m., am I right?
Correct.
Pacific, that's 6 p.m. Eastern time. I'm glad
impressed.
You remembered. I just racked my brain. My schedule's crazy these days. But you can tune in and watch it. And, of course, then shortly thereafter, the PC Perspective podcast at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, also on live.twit.tv.
Yep.
Make sure you subscribe if you're not already subscribing to Twitch. That is twit.tv/TWICH. twit.tv/TWICH. And if you're hearing this on the CES feed, we're glad you subscribed, and there's a lot more to come as we continue our coverage. Twit Live from CES 2010, Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian, and thank you, Alan.
Thanks.
That is Twitch.